consultation paper sessions. So we're going to talk about, if I can find my agenda, the agenda consultation. And Hugh, are you going to lead us through this paper? So effectively, we've got this split into two parts because we're going to get hungry in the middle of it. So we're going to stop for lunch, and I think we will still stop for lunch at 12:30, although we're running a little bit behind. So we'll stop for lunch at 12:30 and resume, depending on how much longer you think we might need, Hugh, as to whether we may need to cut our lunch time down a bit, depending on, and I shouldn't say this, as to how many comments that we have. But actually, I think that's positive. I want us to have lots of comments. Hugh, it's all yours.
Thank you, Joanna. You'll recall that we discussed the agenda consultation when we last met in February, and you should see a number of your comments and recommendations reflected in this draft request for views document, which is part of this paper. I just wanted to start off with a few comments about timing. Because when we met in February, we were our intention was that the initial request for views would be going out in December of this year. Now, since that time, we've had four meetings with our board advisors group, which is led by Martin Edelman. And I guess for a number of reasons, but probably two that I would highlight, we've brought forward the timing of our the publication of our request for views to the end of July. And I think that the two reasons are probably, or the two more important reasons are probably these. I think, first of all, we realise that when you look at our current programme of work and the projects that we're committed to and some of the larger projects which are still ongoing, you can see that a large proportion of our time over the next several years, and I'll talk about the period of coverage in a moment as well, but you can see that a large proportion of our workload is already to some extent predetermined. I think, you know, the agenda consultation is asking open questions, but on the other hand, we can't just drop our big projects or drop research topics which are clearly important to our stakeholders. So that was one reason. So in other words, we have a full programme already. It will continue to be quite a full programme, and we don't have that much headroom to take on a large number of new projects. So that's the first point. And I think the second point is the structure and effectiveness review. The structure and effectiveness review will also be published in July. Those two documents interrelate to some extent, and I'll be touching on some of the cross-references that these two documents have. But the fact that they do cross-refer to each other means that it is useful to be having these documents running in parallel so that we don't get confused about which consultation is covering what subject. So those are the main reasons why we've pulled the timing forward to the end of July in terms of the publication of the request for views. If you turn the pages of this agenda paper three to pages two and three, you'll see what our outline timetable is looking like. And as you can see, we've got that the key date, the publication of the request for views at the end of July, the 30th of July, a number of consultation steps leading up to that, of which this is obviously part. We then have, and by our due process handbook, we're required to have our 120-day consultation period. So that will take us to a conclusion of the comment period at the end of November. And during that time, of course, we'll be undertaking a lot of outreach. We've listed some of that outreach, but that's not a comprehensive list of all the folks we'll be talking to. But in any event, we will be concluding the comment period at the end of November. We will then take a few months just to digest that and process it, and our plan is to publish the actual feedback statement at the end of February next year. So that's what the outline timetable is looking like. So our first question to you is whether you have any comments on this proposed timetable.
Hugh, I'm going to start by asking a question. Given the role of the council in terms of any changes to the agenda, is the council in terms of publishing the feedback statement, does the council have input to that feedback statement? Because effectively the last thing that you've got for the council involvement is today.
That's a good question. I think the answer
I always have good questions, Hugh.
I think the answer must be yes. You must have some input to the publication of the feedback statement. We will... Yeah, not the actual feedback statement. Right. Well, okay, so April's just pointing out to me this isn't the very last time the Advisory Council will get to discuss this topic. But in terms of discussing the feedback statement, we haven't got an obvious insertion point. So we will have to find a mechanism for that. I guess by the end of... By the time we meet in November, we will have an idea of what people have told us.
Yes.
We won't necessarily have fully absorbed everything that's been said.
But I think it is important that somehow, and we have to work out which meeting that we actually do slot in, effectively how the council can provide its final feedback or what form it is. And I'll be honest, I'm not sure what's been done in what was done last year. So anyway, we'll just take that offline. You're getting glares from across the road.
I guess last time we actually publish it straight, we just publish, right?
Okay, let's take this offline. Just think about how we actually do consider this, and maybe we'll come back to it. We have some discussions over lunch, and maybe just to, in terms of the summary, to do that. Yeah. Okay, well, we'll talk about it a bit later, and maybe just in the summary work out, you know, over lunch as to whether we've got any comments on that.
The role of the council approving items onto the agenda, it seems sensible.
Somehow seem a little sensible. Yeah. Any other questions from advisory council members in relation to the proposed timetable? Nope. Okay. Move on, Hugh.
Okay, thank you. So I'm at the top of page four now, and I guess what you basically have in this paper is a draft of the actual request for views that we'll be publishing at the end of July. I think one point to make, there probably will be more information on the research projects, which you've heard Alan talk about. There'll be more in the actual document than there is in this one, to give people as much context as possible. But I guess the point I also wanted to make up front is throughout the draft document, you've got two questions being asked in parallel, if you like. One is the actual questions that we were asking to people in the request for views. And secondly, our questions to you. So they're not necessarily exactly the same thing. I guess what we're looking from you today is, have we got the right questions? Or should we have additional questions, or do we need to modify the questions, rather than actually answering the questions themselves necessarily? So when we come to talk about research, we have some very specific questions we want to be asking people, which include prioritisation and whether projects should be coming off or taken off. We're not actually asking you to tell us your answers today. So just to make that clear, I think if we did that, we would certainly need longer than the 2 hours we have. Page four summarises all the questions, and we'll walk through them bit by bit, but just to bear in mind that not to get confused between the questions we're asking in terms of request for views and the questions we're putting to you as the Advisory Council today. They are highlighted very clearly as to which is which. I'm just going to skip through the paper a little bit. Jump to page seven just to mention some crossover points which I already referred to. So top of page seven, the structure and effectiveness review is going to ask some questions which you may or may not have thought this document might cover, but anyway, they are whether the ISB should develop standards for entities in the not-for-profit sector, what role the ISB should play in broader developments in corporate reporting, and how the ISB should ensure that it factors into its thinking changes in technology in order to maintain the relevance of IFRS. All of those questions will be covered in the structure and effectiveness review itself, so we shouldn't be distracted with those.
Can I just ask how the answers to those questions will then feed back into the ISB agenda? Because presumably whatever the answers to those may be, could well have a knock-on impact.
They could, and I guess this is one advantage of having these two consultations done absolutely simultaneously, because we'll absolutely have to pay attention to what comes out of the structure and effectiveness review if there are any implications for the agenda. We will have to pay attention to that.
I'm just thinking for a sort of from a respondent's viewpoint, I sort of need to think about the two in parallel, and whatever I may be answering on the one consultation may well inform what I'm saying on the other one. That's quite a sort of complex analysis to work through. Maybe there's no other way to do it, but I can see people tripping over themselves quite quickly on that.
That's fair. Yeah. Well, have to be care. Take care. The next few pages in this document talk a little bit about the background to the first agenda consultation and how we responded to that last agenda consultation in terms of the current work programme and our current activities. But if I could take you to page 10 and just talk a little bit about the period of coverage and the scope of what we're talking about. The scope is obviously a function of the period of coverage as well as the expected levels of activities in the period. At the bottom of page 10, we talk about what the period of coverage in practical terms actually is. And this takes into account, I guess, two things, really. Firstly, the fact that our due process handbook, according to the due process handbook, we have to do an agenda consultation every 3 years. But it also takes account of the life cycle of the agenda consultation itself. So we're going to issue the request for views in at the end of July, and then the feedback statement will be coming out in February. So that is also a period of time. Mm-hmm. Now, if we think about what that timing, how that timing works for this agenda consultation, and then think forward in terms of when we'll be doing the next agenda consultation, it results in a period of coverage of roughly the middle of next year through to the middle of 2020, just so you have an idea of what time period we are talking about. Next up, just to mention a few other points which we are committed to in terms of our activity. We'll come to the major projects in a moment. But first of all, one point that has come out very strongly from our trustees and from others is the need to spend, to pay a lot of attention to the consistent application of IFRS. And related to that, and on page 11 now, the second half of page 11, we have a number of different mechanisms through which we provide post-issuance support. So we have our transition resource groups. We have internally an implementation steering committee, which is looking at a number of ongoing issues. We have now a need to carry out post-implementation reviews of our major standards. We have educational activities which are ongoing in relation to consistent application. We've just started talking internally about ways in which we can enhance the accessibility of IFRS. We're relatively early stages of that discussion, but I think there will be more in the request for views when we publish it. We're also having an increased focus on post-issuance support and outreach project by project. And as you will be aware, the Interpretations Committee is also heavily engaged in looking at issues as they are raised to us. So all of these things are activities which we are committed to and which obviously do take time. On page 12, if you turn the page over, there's a table here which takes our major projects or what is considered to be major projects on our work programme and extrapolates whether or not there's going to be activity in relation to these big projects over the next several years and out through to 2019 and the period of coverage which I mentioned or the end of 2019. And what you can see is there is activity on most of these. You would be aware, obviously, that we're still working hard on insurance. Also, standards such as financial instruments, leases when it's written, revenue, there will be more or less activity going on in relation to those. And we have, which we've already touched on, these significant research projects, so the portfolio or dynamic risk management in the financial instruments area, also rate-regulated activities, and the Principles of Disclosure project, which we've touched on several times this morning as well. Now, all of these will be, we are really committed to over the next 3-4 years or so. As we touched on, as Alan explained already, we have got the research programme, which is a very useful tool in helping us move through our work quickly. But I think what this picture really shows is a significant programme of work which we already have and which will be difficult, in many cases impossible to drop, and that therefore we have got constraints in terms of how much more we can take onto our agenda. And this is a message which we do want to get across to people, because whilst we are asking open questions about what should come on and go off, we nonetheless do have a committed programme of work. So I guess this is really the second batch of questions for you as our strategic advisors. Have we signalled the constraints on our capacity in an appropriate way? And do you have any other suggestions as to how we might present this?
Okay, and I'm going to be naughty and I'm going to ask the first question again. Hugh,
yes.
And if you were being completely... If you didn't have to do this agenda consultation, I'm trying to think of the right way to phrase this. Basically, is there space to add anything? If the comments that we made around the research activities and the research program earlier and the program that you've just said here, and the reason I'm asking this is because I think it helps to answer the question that you're actually asking us as to whether you have given enough indication. How much room is there for additional agenda items, assuming that the existing agenda items stay? And yes, okay, you don't know the timing. What room is there?
There is.
And maybe I'll ask Hans the question, actually.
I think there will be room. And for example, if something completely new comes up, like what Stephen this morning proposed, you know, do some out of the blue sky thinking or disruptive thinking, we will always have time for that. The big four standards, they are really almost done, so there will be a lot of capacity being freed up. Yes, we have our research program, but you're free to say, well, you know, having had another look at your research program, we think you could get rid of this and this, and or let that wait, and we have other ideas for the future, for the immediate future. So I think there is plenty of scope for new ideas.
Having said that, though, from what you are saying around the consistency and around the research and even the idea of the disruptive stuff, that is research as opposed to actually agenda.
The research is part of the
agenda. But I guess it's then the context is to how you put it around there. Okay, I will shut up. I might... I will come back. There's no question about that around the actual question that you're asking. But, Danita, you had your flag up.
My first question was exactly the same as yours, Joanna, that I didn't – it seems to me that in the paper you need to give some sort of indication for what your capacity is to take on either major projects or other research projects, because in order for constituents to be able to be most helpful in their responses, I think that having some indication of that would be appropriate. The other comment was the discussion on page 11 of post-issuance support. I think that was really good in indicating what types of activities you're doing, but I think I find it kind of difficult to actually measure what that post-issuance support is going to be and what that is going to entail in terms of your resources and how that then interacts with the ability to take on more projects. And when I got to the table on page 12, I was a little bit confused by what apply actually meant, whether it was just for the ISB and the staff or whether you were also talking about preparers or both. I thought it was both, but I wasn't sure. And then I was not entirely sure I understood, like, why some projects for financial instruments, for example, only have 2 years of apply and insurance is the same, but leasing and revenue has three. So I think a little bit more that went into the thinking about how the timetable and what the expectation of what that means and the resource constraints to try to tie all that together would be helpful for me, at least.
Thanks, Danita. Surya.
Thank you, Jonah. And I'll refer back to my earlier comment when we talked about research, and I think it was mentioned that about something between 15 to 20% of the staff and the board members' time goes away in research, yet it doesn't form part of the agenda consultation, and we go forward with a proposition that says we are already maxed out, we have constraints, we can't take on more. So two issues. One, and Ida, with your permission, I'll be a bit provocative. It's a bit defeatist and defensive to go forward with constraints because it questions the commitment to the agenda consultation process. The other is we clearly have an opportunity to free up some part of that 15% if we bring it into an agenda consultation process. I think Hans did mention some things could be dropped, but then if you look at it in totality, we could make the trade-offs.
Perhaps respond. I think the main point in terms of defeating, as you put it, defeating the point of the agenda consultation, everything that we currently work on, or virtually everything, was in the first agenda consultation. I think one of the things that we are grappling with is the timescales and status, I think, are quite long. So it is quite hard for us to unpick. We have to be unpicking the first agenda consultation in order to say we've got a completely blank sheet of paper. And as you say, in relation to research projects, yes, I mean, we are asked the question whether some projects could come off, but that is obviously a mechanism.
I think it's also a matter of PR, if I can say that, because you don't ask a question to which you get an answer and you say, sorry, I can't do anything. And we do have options later, whether we change the time period to 5 years, 3 years, or if you have to go ahead. I think we need to look broadly at it to come out a winner rather than go forth with a proposition that says, this is all I can do, take it or leave it.
Yeah, we don't want to give that message. I think we're also trying to let people know that we need to be realistic as well, because we have a program of work which we have to complete.
But I guess the question, and I can't help myself, is have you gone all round the houses in 12 pages of obfuscating the fact that actually you don't have much room when you start off on page one and say the objective of this agenda consultation, the introduction, is on the strategic direction and balance of the ISB's work program. And I would argue actually that's not what this is about, but you've said that in the very first introduction, and it may be what the Constitution says or whatever it is that you've got to do. However, you read through 12 pages of actually setting the context as to why you can't do it. And I personally just wonder whether it is 12 pages too long and you can say it all on page one.
I think this is all about making choices. The research agenda is part of the consultation. And if our constituents tell us, well, you've now spent 2 years on dynamic risk management, macro hedging, but on second thought, we are happy with IFRS as it is, and there are other more pressing issues, why don't you put that on the back burner and put all your concentration on business combinations under common control? Much more important. That's what we could do. Mm-hmm. So we are In a sense, it's not a blank sheet of paper because there's a lot of stuff on the table, partly resulting from the previous agenda consultations. But I think we really have to make it clear in our presentation of this that we can switch things around.
Yeah. Which comes back to Surya's PR. Okay, all right. Yeah. Don't get defensive, Hans. I'll shut up and I'll allow others to provide advice.
It's very good that we have this discussion because obviously we do want to avoid the impression that everything is fixed because it isn't.
Yeah. However,
but
being realistic,
it might come across as well. Make choices. That's what we ask.
Okay, Gavin.
So I think it's the same theme. I think this absolutely runs the risk of undermining the credibility of the agenda setting process as currently set up. So I think you do absolutely need to be as clear as you can about the capacity that realistically, or the extent of capacity, and indeed the timing of that capacity that realistically exists. Because I think your other comment about saying this reflects the time period from whatever it was, 16 to 20, well, yes and no. Because yes, I mean, clearly it has some impact, but the reality is that the things that I might think the ISB should be spending its time on over the next 3 or 4 years won't be delivered by 20. Actually, what I should also be thinking about as a constituent is further out than that. And I think being very clear about that also would be helpful. And of course, I guess as later on, it does sort of bring into question the 3-year review, or at least the purpose of it. And I think that's what you're grappling with in this document.
I think unless you're really clear,
then, I think, one, it will waste constituents' time to some extent, and two, it's not really going to be very helpful to the ISB either.
Okay, Anne?
Yes, I'll be very brief because it's also on communication issues. This is the first agenda consultation in the new, I would say, standard setting process, where we have the research phase and the standard setting program. And maybe it would be interesting to add a few paragraphs to make sure that all stakeholders understand that, I mean, the way the ISB deals with topics has changed since the last agenda consultation. So that's one issue. Maybe make sure that they understand the process. And then the time constraints, all the items on the agenda, maybe the Article 20, you have work program, major projects, maybe you could restructure that table into research program, items on the research program, and then standard setting program. So to make sure all items that are on the agenda now, because you have just work program here, and maybe that could be divided up just to signal more to the stakeholders what elements you want to have feedback on and the state of the topics. That's just a suggestion.
Thanks, Anne. Lothar?
Yes, thank you. Also to the capacity constraint issue again. I agree it would probably be good to tone down this whole introduction a little bit in this regard. But when I read the document first, I thought that especially this explanation in the beginning and then question number one to the public or to the constituents conflict completely, because you ask, what topics do you think should be added to the major projects work program and why? First you say we have no capacity, and then you say what should we add? So I think a lot could be helped already in this whole field if you say something like what projects of higher priority than we have in our program could you think of, and which could you would you replace, plus what projects could we start with a view of the next period, like
Lothar, just
1919.
I think Hugh wants to go through this bit a bit further, so we haven't got on to that yet, paragraph 23 in that question. I mean, it's a good point, but let
Hugh
talk a bit.
Well, it fits into this whole capacity
issue.
Okay. That's right. Okay.
Micheline?
Related, I was going to point out that effectively, as you're talking about capacity constraint, maybe a better way to addressing this is talking about priorities, because you never know exactly how much constraints we're going to develop. And if you do have priorities, that's going to be easier to handle in the future. The other thing that I wanted to react is we've heard a few times today that with big projects going away, that there'll be a lot of staff available. I think you should not underestimate how much work in transition or implementation you'll need, at least for the insurance contract. So.
Okay. Goro?
Yes, as I said earlier on the research project, I think that the capacity allocation or resource allocation will indicate that the which projects are requiring that the ISP to put more people or more resources. And also that I believe that many of these projects are well behind of the initial projection of the complexion. And probably if you can indicate what was the initial target, then that will give us some kind of indication that, you know, how difficult each project which are you currently tackling. And that will be very helpful for, you know, contributors to recognize, you know, what kind of problem do you have? Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Anne.
Thanks. My observation here is that the role of the Advisory Council is to give honest, global feedback on what are the issues of the day, ideas and debate about the priorities, and it's the role of management to work out how to get it done. So we shouldn't constrain our discussion worrying about have you got too much to do, because then Hans is the boss and he has to go and beg for more resources or cancel other things. Hans is the boss. That's the bit you agree with. Okay. So anyway, it's just about the division of labour, and is that a fair assumption? You know, our job is to be giving you input and ideas and your job is to execute. If we start trying to tell you how to execute, we've overstepped our role.
It's an interesting... I mean, anyway, I agree with you in terms
of governance.
That. Yes, yes, yes. However, I think that it is the question that we are... with our experience, is as a governance role in terms of giving advice from what us being outside around... whether this consultation paper is giving the right message. So it's not have they got enough resources to do it or has the ball got enough, but actually making sure that the message is right, which is why have you got the space? If not, then it needs to be in the paper. Hans is saying, well, no, we can juggle it if for the priorities, but then we've got to make sure that, A, the context makes it very clear that, yes, at the moment we are, which then actually leads to Lothar's comment around actually the next question is that it's actually all around priorities rather than potentially around... So that may be our advice as opposed to, well, actually, what you, as you say, the execution of it. Okay. Is there anything further, Peter, just on this one?
I'll be brief. I've been a bit confused about the difference between the various components, so this question may be completely out of context. I apologise if it is. But when we did the consultation review last time, which I participated in, I'm sure many people did, one of the conclusions that came across is that we've had a rush of new standards, so let's implement them and sort of put the foot on the ball, so to speak, and everything. And what I'm seeing with this is a list of items that we're looking at, some requests for other things, but not really the dynamic of the balance between, if you like, post-implementation reviews, new standards, revised standards. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So consider that point. Okay. I think you've got a lot of feedback there, relatively... consistent, I think, in terms of
I think Gavin hit the point in the, so what we're grappling with here is the shortness, if you like, of the 3-year
period we have, we're required to follow the due process.
Yes.
Our life cycles are clearly much, much longer than that. And therefore it becomes, and I think the main point, it becomes a careful communication effort to ensure that we don't think people have, don't have any.
Okay, yep. Carry on.
Thank you. So turning over then to page 14, we do we list out the projects and we do ask these relatively open questions, as Lothar already touched on, which topics do we think should be added, and do stakeholders have any other comments? So those are the questions to people for the actual request for views. The question to you is, are these the right questions, and do you have any further comments or suggestions at this point? And perhaps we covered this to some extent already. But
I'm going to throw it back to Lothar as to whether you want to add anything further to what you said before.
I think I said it. I mean, one thing is to not just ask what else could we do, but say we're full, but what priorities should we change? And secondly, if you ask open question related to the next period, like what should we start when we get free capacity again, 1919 onwards or something? 2019. Okay.
Peter.
My question builds on that, I think. All of the items you've listed, we're either working on now or scheduled to do so. I was wondering if you're going to put in a few of the major items are bubbling under that have been subject to discussion that people have raised. I for one, was expecting to see pensions accounting, for example, in it. So I was wondering if you'd want to add a few things to help stimulate discussion.
Yeah, so the post-employment benefits is part of the research programme, which is in the next bit of the paper. So we certainly are asking a question about that. Yeah, what this table is taking our current major projects programme and adding in some post-implementation review at the bottom of it. We will certainly come to that.
Jake.
You've asked the question, are there other questions that you should ask? And I guess reflecting on the advice that's already been given, this as much seems about project prioritisation as about resourcing. And so I might just step back for a minute and ask myself, well, what questions would I ask constituents that would help me with the prioritisation of that project? So could there be some more specific questions around where is the diversity in practice? So you've asked what projects should be added to the major projects. I think key to understanding which projects you would add, you'd want to know, is there diversity in practice and where? And
Roxana?
Yes. Well, clearly there is a link now between, if you think about it, the next 3 years or five or whatever, there is a link between what projects from the research agenda will come into here as major projects. I was just thinking, I remember that last time we attended this meeting, I remember that Hans mentioned about the ISB strategy to fix some problems, etc. And I see that in this paper, the role of the interpretation committee is explained a bit later. I was just probably a bit, well, I'm not sure exactly how people can answer on the how much priority and how quickly some of the topics from the interpretation committee, for example, should move to the ISB agenda. I think, for example, just one example, IFRS 5, you know, there are a number of topics, and obviously there is a process, but I'm not sure if it's clear in the consultation or what kind of question we should put so that people answer this kind of and propose this kind of priorities.
And I guess just a comment from me, Hugh, on a similar vein. I mean, what you've done here is listed, as you say, what was on two pages earlier, and the comment was made there, should that include the research? Because you've very clearly separated in this paper, a consultation paper, these major projects, and have segregated, instead of saying we have a portfolio of, as you actually have said earlier, a portfolio of projects some of which is research, some of which is stuff that's in the interpretations committee, some of which is post-implementation. And you made the comment that these are the major ones, and you slotted the post-implementation on the bottom. Well, why didn't you slot the research on the bottom? I.e., why are we dealing with it? Because if people are going to make suggestions, why would it be suggestions to come on to necessarily this bit of our portfolio of work? And it's just whether the structure of the paper to separate it like this, and therefore the question being asked in terms of what topics, as you say, if they're on the research program or they're already in the interpretations committee or narrow or whatever, as to whether therefore they would be dealt with.
I think the reasons for separating them is that our flexibility in relation to them is actually very different. We think about... Yeah, what we have on the major projects, these are...
Yeah, Hans has just said we've got to prioritise between all of our portfolio. So we're not prioritising in the major projects, we're prioritising over our whole portfolio as to where our resources... Hans as the boss is going to prioritise over his whole portfolio.
My board members are going to rebel.
My comments, that's all, you think about it. And one other on that, and it relates to it, and it relates to Lothar's comment, what topics do you think should be added? And I wondered whether that was too open a question. And mine was, I was going to suggest that maybe the better question is, do you think any topics should be added? If so, what? So actually you've got that first bit actually to say, no, it's just fine as it is. So giving the option of allowing people to say that first.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. Any further comments on our question 3? Donita, apologies.
That's okay, Joanna. Just really quickly. Building on, I think, what you said and what a couple other people did, the upcoming standards in the table, I mean, that lists financial instruments, leases, revenue, those should be done by the time, if we're talking about mid-2016 to mid-2020, we won't be in the post-implementation review stage yet, but we'll be in the stage of providing help for consistent application. So I think somehow trying to better segregate that and better explain that, and then just building off of the other comments too, I think the question really isn't simply what do you think should be added, but what if you think something should be added, how does that fit within this whole broader context, taking into account the discussion we just had earlier about the resource constraints? So, you know, what do you think needs to be done? How would you go about helping the board to prioritize?
Although I would guess that can be a very difficult question for people, you know, that we not only ask them to say what would you like to be added on the agenda, but then also what to deprioritize. I think we'll have to look at the overall picture and see what generally people think is less important, what people think is more important, and then we'll have to make a consideration.
Agreed. I just think that trying to solicit some input on relative importance, I guess.
Yes, that could be good.
Yes, yeah. Yep. Stephen.
I put mine down basically because it was the same issue. But I did find this bit really confusing because my understanding of the new process was that we would be not really discussing, you know, what should be added to this, but what should be added to the research and the process of bringing that through, rather than sort of, because this to me was sort of asking which of these research projects should we bring onto this. Where I felt that this was actually part of the process now. And I can see the point in prioritization here. But in terms of new projects, I would expect them to come into the research first and then into here. So it was really just this didn't, for me, fit in the new way of looking at the standards. And I felt it would confuse people to actually try and address this issue. I know this is for us, probably, and not for for the constituents, but I did think that I felt this was just prioritization and not actually what new things would we like here. We should go through the process and put that through the development into here, not trying to second guess how we get to, you know, how what do we bring in here without going through the new process.
Okay, thank you for that, Stephen. I think some... Lothar?
Just for me, a short addition. I fully agree with your statement to add the research. And then in terms of the question, sure, it gets complicated quickly, but just to make one more suggestion, I mean, isn't it possible to ask something like, are there any issues which you consider more important than what we have listed here, including the research? And I would think people could also handle a second part of the question, which is the least important on our list, which could be replaced. So you could, I mean, you know, why not get a feedback which says post-implementation review of something I don't find interesting. I find it much more urgently needed to get this issue solved or whatever, which you probably wouldn't do, but, you know, you get the feedback. Just, that's it.
Okay, thank you, Lothar. So I think Hugh and April some feedback there around thinking about, you know, it's damn hard to write this. There is no question about it, and everyone has a different view. I think there are some things though there to come out for you to think about as to how it can be made. I mean, it's all about communication. I think. I mean, the focus on all of this is how best to communicate and have credibility about going through the process the right way, and but also making it very clear as to what you're looking for. And I think, though, that a couple of times we've come through at the moment around, actually, this is a new way of doing it. We do have that whole portfolio, and it's not quite the same as the what are we going to put on as the major topics, because it is a portfolio management as much as anything else, and to think about that. And I'm sort of summing up, because what I'm going to suggest that we do now is that, given that it is very close to, no, I think that's Lothar's, lunch, 12:30, that we do stop for lunch now. And we have scheduled an hour after lunch at the moment from 1:30 to 2:30. You think that's about right, Hugh? We don't need to come back earlier?
I don't think we need to come back earlier.
All right. So back in here, please, at 1:30 to continue this discussion. And I'm sure some of you will be continuing it over lunchtime, which is good. Okay.